Welcome back to Eye on the Community. My guest for this segment is John Kunkel with the Time for Change Foundation. Thanks for joining us once again today, John.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
We had you on a few months ago. I think the foundation was having a big gala, and we were talking about that and the recognition for everybody that's been so instrumental in helping the foundation. So I wanted to start, just because it's been a while, maybe by refreshing our listeners' minds about what Time for Change Foundation is, what you do, and what you're trying to accomplish. So maybe you could kind of give us an idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're a nonprofit organization, and we've been around since 2002. And we've been dedicated to helping homeless women and children achieve self-sufficiency. We have a housing program, and then we also have a leadership development program. And as I mentioned, we've been around since 2002, so we are a 10-year-old organization, and I've only been here for about a year or so as a director of communications. But just coming into work every day and seeing these homeless women and children that are coming into our offices and just seeing the great need and then seeing how Time for Change is making a difference, it just blows my mind every day to see, just the way that people's lives are being changed here in Southern California.
And we should let people know you're based in San Bernardino. So is it the city of San Bernardino that you're primarily concerned with, or does it go beyond that?
You know, we're really concerned with homeless women and children in general. Our offices are located in San Bernardino, but we have people coming from all over the United States that are looking for help that might be within the city of San Bernardino for a short period of time. But we really are concerned with just helping women and children that are forgotten, that are left on the sidelines, that have been neglected, abused, women that are just in great need, especially in this current economy where we all know that everyone is struggling to make ends meet. Women are with their families, they're trying to find work, they can't find work. And so, the new face of homelessness is really a pretty serious situation. And luckily you have agencies like Time for Change Foundation that are out there trying to make a difference.
This format may be a little short for an answer here, but and maybe it's just way too complex. But I'm wondering, that you talk about the face of homelessness today, there's people, I guess, that are we look at and we say they're chronically, they maybe have some mental illness and they're homeless. But now with the joblessness rate that we've got and people are out of work for years on end, are there people that have just given up? Are there people that, just don't have the education that they need? I guess there's multiple answers to that.
I think it's a combination of multiple problems. And I think that we can talk all day about what the reasons are for women being homeless and their families. And I think that the most important thing, however, is to focus on the fact that this is a crisis situation. Mm-hmm. In San Bernardino City itself, we have probably one of the worst situations. As you probably heard, our city recently went bankrupt. We have a very, very high rate of poverty, which is, I believe, over 34%. We have an 18% homeless rate. So San Bernardino is one of the cities that is probably most seriously affected. And it is our job, I believe, as citizens and taxpayers of the city to be able to help these women and children, to not only provide them with direct services, but to transition them into self-sufficiency, meaning that they're able to live on their own, they're able to pay their bills, they're able to have a job, they're able to be productive citizens, tax-paying citizens, and just making that transition for them something more of a reality. And in this day and age in San Bernardino, it's very common to walk down the street and to see women and children that are homeless. And I think that the focus is really on how do we help them transition into a healthy and productive life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is really our goal, is to provide them with permanent housing and, entrepreneurship. And so eventually they can become thriving families.
I applaud you on focusing on a solution, but I don't mean to belabor the point, but I'm just wondering if it can help you to a solution if you identify some of the reasons, why they've found themselves in this situation.
Absolutely. I think one of the reasons that we can clearly see is in San Bernardino, we have there's policies, for instance, with regards to women that are coming home from prison, and they can't find employment. So that's obviously one issue right there. When a woman comes home from prison and she's trying to look for work, she can't find it. There's also policies where women that come home from prison, they're not able to live with their family members, and so they're sometimes forced into that situation.
Because of conditions set out by the court?
there's conditions set out by the court. There's conditions that the city has passed in terms of policies for housing. You know, we've been working very hard with homeless people in the past few months with our homeless empowerment project. And what we're doing is we're training homeless people to stand up for themselves with regards to being advocates and being able to find housing and actually being part of the legislative process themselves, as opposed for other people trying to figure out for them. And so back to your question, the reasons for why there is a big need right now in San Bernardino, and I believe in other areas as well, really falls on a lot of the legislation that has been passed. There's discriminatory problems, there's racial issues, there are just a number of different problems out there. But I think that that they can all be addressed, especially when we help and empower women and children and also men as well. You know, obviously our focus is with homeless women and children, but we try to empower everyone to advocate on their behalf for policies that have discriminated them or disenfranchised them in the past.
Now, you mentioned the recent revelation that San Bernardino had sought protection in the bankruptcy courts. Has that affected you as far as funding or anything? Do you get anything from the city? And
you know, it's definitely affecting, I believe, everyone within the nonprofit sector. And in our situation, the economy in general has been very rough, and and so we've seen private donations go down, we've seen federal donations go down, we've seen grants and other sources of funding depleted. And with the city in its current situation, it is definitely another devastating blow, I believe, for everyone in the nonprofit sector, and especially for us at Time for Change, because we rely on a lot of funding from these different sources. So, yeah, to answer your question, to have the city in this situation is definitely very concerning for us, and we obviously want to keep our shelters open. We want to be able to keep doing more work with homeless women and children. But, yes, the city's current financial condition is definitely of great concern to us.
Well, I tell you, with the kind of bleak picture we've maybe kind of painted here, you know, I can hear your enthusiasm and your dedication to this, and it doesn't sound like there's any give up in there. So I appreciate that, and the Time for Change Foundation. And so why don't we turn the corner here? And one of the things that kind of brought us together here today to talk about this is coming up on Wednesday, July 25th, there's a grand opening for the Phoenix Square, which is one of the projects that Time for Change Foundation is working on, and it looks like it's about to come to fruition. What is the Phoenix Square?
Yeah, well, you know, the Phoenix Square is actually our first affordable housing for low-income residents, meaning that we are going to be opening a new development, a new center, which is, as you know, essentially, as I mentioned, it's going to be our first affordable housing project. And so it's got three phases. So in our first phase, we actually purchased a 7-unit apartment complex that was run down, that was beaten up, that was just ready to fall over. And, you know, we saw something in that place, and we went in as developers and said, you know what, we're going to transform this building into something beautiful, something that a home for people that need to be able to get off on their feet and have a second chance. And so we went ahead and developed this place. And like I mentioned before, I mean, it was just completely devastated. We have pictures online of what it looked like.
You sent me some pictures, and it is amazing. I mean, it would have been easier just to start from scratch, I think.
Yeah, it really would have, you know. And I think that, you know, we've done a great job at this.
Yes.
You know, we're trying to set the standard for low-income housing in California. If you look at the pictures, it's completely renovated. It's painted. The rooms inside have been furnished. We have granite top. We have wooden cabinets. We have carpet on the floors. We have some great furniture in there that was donated. And so this is a really top-of-the-line kind of project that we've done. And I mean, I just walked in there the other day, and I was just amazed at just how beautiful and new and how upscale it looks. That's one of the key features about it, in my opinion.
So the grand opening, everybody will be able to come and do a walkthrough and see what you've accomplished there.
The grand opening is going to be on July 25th, and we're going to be having a really, really exciting day there. There's going to be people from the city coming out and saying a few words. And so this is just going to be, you know, just a really exciting day for us. And I think for the whole community, you know, this is something that we've actually seen as an asset for the community. You know, there's a couple other phases that we're trying to build into it. We're going to build a community center that'll be adjacent to it to the left, and then we're also going to have community gardens and a solar paneled parking structure so that we can go green and let it be grid neutral. And so this is really going to be something that's going to bring the community together. It's going to be something that not only is it going to be beneficial to the people that will be living there, but aesthetically it's going to be something nice for the neighborhood. It's actually located by F Street and 7th, right in front of an elementary school nearby, I believe, the County Board of Education buildings there in downtown San Bernardino. And, you know, we're just really excited that we got the crime prevention through environmental design certification, which is one of the highest designations for the city. We got the crime-free multi-housing certification. And then there's just a few other things that we're just really, really proud of. And I think that the community is going to look at this and see that affordable housing can be done in such a way to where it is something to be proud of, that this, that, you know, is an asset and a benefit to the entire community.
So this is affordable housing for low-income residents. Have the residents been selected at this point?
We're currently accepting applications, so people can visit our website at timeforchangefoundation.org, and they can fill out an application form that will kind of ask you some basic questions, and then we review that. But at this point, no, we have not necessarily selected people. But, you know, right now we are getting a lot of applications, obviously, and it's just really exciting to see that, you know, that this is going to be something that is actually going to happen, you know. It's such a beautiful location. It is, as I mentioned, you know, just a major asset to the community, and I think that people's lives that will be living there are going to be drastically changed.
Will this have a kind of a transitional component to it? Are these people that are getting back on their feet will live there for a while as, you know, as maybe their income improves and they get their, you know, feet squarely on the ground? Will they move on to other housing, leaving it open for other people that have a greater need?
You know, that's one of the things that we are looking at doing, absolutely. But I think that we currently are looking at developing more places like this in the future. This is just our first step right now. And so we hope to build future developments to where we can have more access for people to be able to have access to this type of housing, you know, something that is upscale, that is affordable, something that, you know, transforms neighborhoods into sustainable communities. And that's really our goal, is to be able to create more of these sustainable communities by creating these, you know, these projects, just like the Phoenix Square, you know. And so when we start creating more of these, I believe that we'll be able to provide a greater population of people with these types of opportunities for low-income housing.
So is this one of the biggest projects that you've undertaken?
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely probably the biggest thing. To me, it is like the culmination of the last 10 years of something that Time for Change has been working for. You know, our goals have always been permanent housing, entrepreneurship, and thriving families. And I think the Phoenix Square is the embodiment of those goals, all inside of one big project. And so I believe that, you know, this is going to be something that the city of San Bernardino will look at and say, this is amazing, and we want more of this. And I think that other cities in the Inland Empire are going to look at this and say, we want the same thing done in our city. So we're currently coming out and trying to, you know, be developers in this area of trying to create sustainable communities. Because when we create sustainable communities, we're able to help our local economy. We're able to create better access to education. We're able to create crime and drug-free environments. And that's really, I think, one of the things that, especially San Bernardino and every city, needs more probably than many other things that we may invest our time into.
It just leads to so many other good things.
It really does. It really does. And, you know, this will also provide an opportunity for people that are not able to find employment to be able to sell, let's say, groceries and stuff like that at a food market, because we're going to create, you know, the gardens and all that kind of stuff right there. So it'll give people, I think, new opportunities for employment in terms of being able to seek alternative options or seek different types of alternatives to, I guess, basically making an income and earning a living and help being able to provide for their families.
Well, these situations always seem to be so cyclical. If you can show people a better way, you know, that they can pass on, you know, generationally too, that's going to be a good thing.
Absolutely. And that's one of the most important things. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we really are concerned with the future generations. And I think that right now with the current economic climate and with the rise of poverty and unemployment, the people that are really at stake here are the children, and we really need to be able to focus on them, and we need to be able to create a situation to where they're able to thrive and where they're able to rise up and be able to be the future leaders of tomorrow for our country you know, and I think education and access to good quality education is something that is really important. And the beauty about the Phoenix Square is that it's right across the street from a gorgeous brand new elementary school. And so the children that will be living there will have direct access to that. They'll be able to literally walk across the street and have access to that education. And there's beautiful parks nearby that area as well. And so, you know, our vision is just to do more and more of these types of projects. And that's really why we need funding. We need help, because when we get funding, whenever people make a dollar contribution, whenever people give $10 or $20, they're giving and investing into the future of these types of sustainable communities, into future families, into the future of our children.
Now, are there rules to continue to live there?
Yes, are absolutely. Those all set out? You know, we definitely have. It's a crime and alcohol and drug free environment. So anybody living there will not be able to purchase or have any of those items on the site. There are a few other rules, but logistically, I think the main focus for us is that the people that will be coming in are not going to be doing those types of things, because we will be screening them and they will know the rules, you know, up front. Mm-hmm. And the people will know that this is a place where you come to grow and to thrive and basically not to be a part of any of those destructive types of behaviors.
Now, a project like this has got to be a big undertaking. Did you have any partners in this in construction? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, we definitely had a lot of help. We had a lot of help from different foundations, and we had donations from private individuals. And, you know, again, to reiterate, that is just why it's so important to be able to network and communicate the needs to the people in the community, to let them know that this is not something that we can do on our own, but we definitely have the expertise and we have the initiative to get it done. And, you know, it was just really exciting to see that the city of San Bernardino was very supportive with us and being able to pull this project forward. And we're just really excited about, you know, the collaboration. And we really look forward to July 25th, because that's really going to be a day of celebration. And I think that it is really a brand new day for San Bernardino in light of our bankruptcy and in light of other issues that this city may face.
Well, congratulations, and you sound very proud. And just invite everybody out Wednesday, July 25th, so you can show it off. Tell us exactly where it is one more time.
Yeah, sure. Our building is actually located off of F Street. Right there, if you are in the area down by the San Bernardino County Board of Education, so it's off of F Street and 7th Street, and you can't miss it. It's a big building. It's beautiful. You'll drive by it, and you'll be just amazed and in awe of the building when you cross by it off of 7th and F Street.
And if people listening to this want to try to qualify for the housing there, or if somebody wants to make a donation, we'll leave them with where can they contact you guys to do that.
Absolutely. People can go and visit our website at timeforchangefoundation.org. We have applications under our program and services tab on our website. And then if people would like to help us in saving and changing the lives of homeless women and children, and in helping us make more of these types of sustainable community projects, they can visit our donation link that's on our website as well. People can make a donation for one time, or they can do it recurrently, however they feel. But again, you know, any amount counts, and especially in this economy, every dollar and penny counts.
John Kunkel with the Time for Change Foundation in San Bernardino, thank you for joining us on Eye on the Community.
Thank you for having us. I appreciate it.